came, we gathered here today to offer our worship, our love, our devotion, our lives. We want to thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in this place. We ask that you would continue to speak to us and speak into our minds, our hearts, our spirits this day, and refine within us the likeness of your Son. We ask, God, that you would have mercy on those in Franklin, Texas, and in other parts of the South whose lives have been upended by the storm fronts that came through yesterday. There are those I know who have lost so much. We ask, God, that you would provide for their needs. And we know that even now, Texas Baptist men and other volunteers from around the state are mobilizing to go and be with them. And we ask that in their efforts that Christ would be revealed and that people's hope would be restored. We turn our eyes to you now. We ask that you would fix our attention upon Jesus Christ. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I'm not used to you staying up here, so. Okay. So, if you haven't had a chance to see the news about the storms yesterday, and there was extensive damage, at least 55 homes damaged, some destroyed, in Franklin, Texas, as a result of tornadoes and in the storm system that went through yesterday. The First Baptist Church in Franklin arrived here in Rockport after Hurricane Harvey the day after I did. And they did extensive work in the community for several days. And what we want to do is to encourage them during this time. And so there's a couple of different things you can do. One is you can go online and give directly to Texas Baptist Men, and they are already mobilizing food units and chainsaw units. Some of our members are on their way there, and others may be going in the near future. So pray about whether or not the Lord would have you to support the ministry of Texas Baptist Men as they respond to this disaster in Franklin. Another thing you can do over the next few weeks, we'll be taking up an offering. And I intend for that money to go directly to the First Baptist Church there in Franklin so that they can do what we did, which is to help people as they see the needs, as they try to put their lives back together after the storm. So you can give to the church and designate that for Franklin, Texas, and we'll take care of it. I just did that right off the top of my head. So that is a holy decree. But they helped us when we needed it most. I think it's right for us to turn our attention to them during this time and ask God to show us how we can help bring mercy and hope to that community. All right. I'm going to read in just a moment from Luke chapter 22, if you want to read with me there. This is an important week for us as believers. It's the beginning of Holy Week. And of course, next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to keep in mind the order of things as we approach Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 22 with verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." We know that this Holy Week ends with the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we have to keep in mind the order of things. You see, there can be no Resurrection Sunday without first encountering Good Friday. And there can be no life or eternal life without the suffering, crucifixion, and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And according to how I read the Scriptures, on the Thursday night before he was arrested and then crucified on Friday, that night, he shared this Last Supper with his disciples, and he took the opportunity to comfort them and to prepare them for the very difficult days that were ahead of them. They would be shocked. They were going to be discouraged. They were going to be disillusioned. They would be afraid. They would despair and feel hopeless. But on top of all of that, they would fail Jesus as his friend. They would betray him in a variety of ways, all of them. Now, Judas, we know, would sell Jesus to the authorities. Simon Peter would deny three times that he even knew Jesus. But all of them would desert him in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came for him to take him away. They would all fall short when he needed them most. Knowing all of this, Jesus encourages them on this last night that he had with them. He tells them that things were happening according to Scripture in order to fulfill the promises of Scripture about him. And so you get a sense that everything is about to happen according to the Lord's plan. Who's in control of all of this? God is. You and I really have no reason to fear, for our Lord is in control of all things. And then Jesus reminded them of how he had provided for them in the past. You remember when I sent you out to preach the gospel and I didn't let you take anything with you? Did you have anything to eat? Yes. Were you taken care of? Yes. And so he's wanting to remind them that they can trust him still. Some bad things are about to happen, but they need to remember all of the ways he's already provided for them. Remember that he will always take care of them. And then in a very amazing and personal way, he told Simon Peter that he had been praying because he knew that Simon Peter was about to fall. And he prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Peter was going to fail miserably, but Jesus prayed that his faith wouldn't fail and that he would return to Christ when it was all done and that he would use his experience to be able to strengthen his brothers because they were going to need him in the days to come. So as we come to the table of the Lord this morning and as we enter into this Holy Week, I wonder, how would the Lord Jesus Christ speak into your life today to give you hope for what you are facing? You need to remember the order of things when it comes to the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, it is in giving that we receive. And it's in pardon that we are pardoned. It is in serving that we find greatness. In the kingdom of God, in order to be first, we must come in last place. To gain the treasure, we must lose all things. It is through the cross that we find forgiveness of our sin. And it is through dying that we are born to eternal life. Here at First Baptist Church, we observe what we call open communion, which means that all baptized believers are welcome at the Lord's table. All sinners are welcome here. Are there any sinners among us today? All who are needy. All who are desperate and broken, all who are worn, weary, and worried are welcome here. All who need life should know there's a seat for you at the table of the Lord. Scripture simply says that all of those who approach the Lord's table need to search themselves and make sure that they are coming in a way that honors the one who made this possible. And so as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, why don't you take a moment to make sure that things between you and the Lord are where they need to be, and that what we do this morning is truly an act of worship of the one who gave his life for us. So it says in the prophet Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pause now to remember your body broken for us. And along with the prophet Isaiah, we confess that we believe that you took our infirmities upon yourself. We believe you carried our sorrows. You were pierced for our transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. We believe you took upon yourself that which we deserved, and it is by your wounds we are healed. We thank you for your body broken for us. And we remember what you have done for us. We love you, and we pray this in your precious name. Amen. John chapter 6, Jesus said, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." In the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, God is giving instructions to Moses for the children of Israel concerning the angel of death that was to pass over them. And he says, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we remember now your blood shed for us, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And we know, Lord, because of our sin, what we deserve is to be separated from you now and forever. What we deserve is your judgment and our destruction. Instead, through your blood, we are not just forgiven, but we are brought close to you again. And so we pause to remember and to say thank you for your blood shed for us. And we love you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. It says in Hebrews 9 that the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And it says in 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." We're going to sing a couple of more songs to close our service today. The last song that we're going to sing is "Reckless Love." While we're singing that song, that's going to serve as kind of our time of commitment and response. And how do you need to respond to what God has said to you about his body and his blood, about having hope, about the reality of Good Friday leading up to the celebration of Resurrection Sunday? While we're singing, I'll ask you to respond to how you believe God is speaking to you or maybe leading you today. You're welcome to come to the altar and pray while we sing. It could be that you want to come and talk to me. I'm going to be right down here while we're singing. If you want to come and share something with me, there might be something you need to make public today. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. And as always, when the service is over, I'm going to be around, probably out there in the foyer. Come and find me. Tell me what God has said to you today. Let's talk. But we're going to sing, and then while we're singing "Reckless Love," if you feel like there's something, a way you need to respond, that would be the time for you to do that. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll sing. Lord, as we begin this holy week, we ask that you would sanctify us and make us holy. Set us aside for your purposes and your glory this coming week. We ask that you would remind us of the truths of your kingdom, that Good Friday comes before Resurrection Sunday. Help us not to be alarmed as that pattern plays itself out in our own life, but instead help us to trust you, to die to ourselves, and then be raised to new life. I pray that you'd renew the hope, the spirit, and the strength of all of those gathered here, so that they might go today and trust you with tomorrow. We worship you now in response to your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.